last section, looking at cognitive development. Okay, so Thursday we got our test, we got a review day tomorrow. We got to be prepared going in tomorrow. Hopefully you get the study guide done today, and then we can kind of go over everything tomorrow and solidify it and move right into the test, feeling pretty good. So what is cognitive development? We've looked at physical development, how infants and small children, how their body develops. We've looked at motor development, how the control of different limbs and movement starts to progress over time. Now we're going to look at cognitive development, or the development of the brain, right? When looking at that, two main theorists that we're going to look at are Jean Piaget and Lawrence Kohlberg. Two of the big names in psychology. Okay, Piaget first, his theory of cognitive development. What he found in looking at children is that he saw patterns in their wrong answers. He saw infants and small children making consistent wrong assumptions, giving wrong answers, and he saw patterns in those wrong answers. So he started to come about with his own theory. After doing research, he came about with his own theory for explaining the way that their minds were developing and leading to these errors early on, and then getting closer to the reality of the world as they got a little bit older. Okay. Starting off, a couple of different terms that we're going to have to know that are important, and actually the guy from the Psych Files that we were just listening to talked a little bit about this, so I'll just kind of skim through it. Early on, infants are going to go through two different processes when it comes to new information. They're going to either assimilate the new information or accommodate the new information. In assimilation, the new information is placed into categories that already exist. Again, the example that they talked of must be a common example, because your textbook has the same example, right? If a family has a Chihuahua or a Black Lab or whatever, and they're walking down the street, and they see a different type of dog, and that child says, doggy, what they're doing is, even though it's a different type of dog, kind of outside of their experience, they're taking that new information, that schema of the dog that is different, and they're attaching it to that category that they already have set up for doggy. Okay? That's the process of assimilation. Accommodation is a little bit different, because you have different information that needs a new category. Okay, so same thing, child's walking down the street, they run into a cat, the child says doggy, and the parents say no, that's a cat. So instead of just attaching that information to that category of doggy, because they have a dog, that child has to create a new schema or a new category for cats. Okay, in doing that, they're stretching themselves, they're extending themselves, they're forming new pathways in their brain, and they're going through a process we call accommodation. So Piaget comes up with his four main stages of cognitive development, and he calls them sensory motor, pre-operational, concrete operational, and formal operational. And we're going to go through his theory, and I'm going to leave you to look up Kohlberg on your own. His sensory motor stage is the initial stage of infancy. Infants start off acting reflexively. They react to their environment. They do not initiate. Okay, they're just kind of a bundle of reflexes. They're just responding to their environment. They're not controlling their environment at all. By about 1 month, so after about 1 month, they start to act with a little bit more purpose in interacting with their environment. Okay. Throughout the sensory motor stage, which is the initial stage, infants begin to understand that there is a relationship between physical movements and the results that they sense and perceive. Okay. By about 4 to 8 months, that infant becomes fascinated with cause and effect. They say, I push this pillow, it moves. They're starting to make a connection between their actions and what happens in the world around them. Okay. So they're, like, you already see a pretty drastic change in their understanding of the world, going from just kind of everything is overwhelming and and I'm just kind of reacting to everything, to realizing that I can control the world. I can push this, I can make it move. The world is not a movie, but it is something that I can interact and control. Okay, so it takes about 4 to 8 months for that realization to start to take place. It's our sensory motor stage. Before about 6 months, children do not realize that objects out of sight still exist. This was the peekaboo example we were just talking about. Again, called object permanence. When children achieve object permanence, they begin to understand that objects exist even when they cannot be seen or touched. This typically happens about 8 months of age. Up until then, the peekaboo game is really enthralling. Okay, because mommy just disappeared, she was just there, and poof, she's gone. Okay, so about 8 months, they're going to start to understand that mommy's not actually gone. Okay. So theoretically, according to Piaget, at about 8 months, why this is changing, why children are starting to understand object permanence, is that their brains are developing, and they can now picture a missing item abstractly in their mind. That image doesn't have to be in front of them for them to realize that it exists. They can now picture something, realize that it's still around, even though they can't see it. So that probably reflects development of the brain. His second stage is the pre-operational stage. It begins about 2 years of age. Okay. Children at about age two begin to use words and symbols and language to represent objects. Pre-operational children do not understand the law of conservation. The law of conservation states that properties of substance that have a weight, a volume, or numbers, they stay the same even if the arrangement has changed. The basic properties are conserved. Okay, on 243 in your book, there's an example of this, and it's a very kind of famous study according to developmental psychology. You have, well, now I'm going to have to look at the picture, but I believe you have two beakers, right?
Yep, it's
not. You have two beakers, you have a tall, skinny beaker, and you have a small, fat beaker. And a child is shown water poured into each of the beakers, and then asked, let's see, how did this go again? Okay, there's a pitcher of water, they pour it into the beaker, they say, okay, look at this beaker, it's now full of water. They pour that water from, say, the tall, skinny beaker back into the pitcher. They then pour that same amount of water from the pitcher into the fat beaker. That fills up, okay? And then they ask the child, okay, which one was more full of water? Which one had more water in it, okay? And the child that doesn't understand the law of conservation at about this age, in the pre-operational stage, is going to say, well, it's the tall, skinny one. It looks like it's more. So they haven't yet begun to understand that substances can change shapes, they can be rearranged, but that water is coming, the water hasn't changed. We haven't gotten more water or less water, right? Does that make sense? I know I'm kind of butchering that example. Okay. But does that make sense?
They talk about it in the beginning of the book too, yeah. Day in the Life, where the sister's brother has the 5 coins and 5 roads, and mm-hmm. He just spread them out, and it was the same thing. Even though the boy counted them, he still thought it was more.
Okay, so you've got 5 stacks of coins. I don't remember this one.
Inch stack.
In like inch tall stacks or something,
yep.
Like that? Okay.
They were pulled farther apart so it looked bigger.
Okay.
Wider.
So they're spread out, and then they take all the coins and go and splash them all around or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Lay them all out.
Close together, yeah.
Push them close together, and they say, were there more coins in the first example or in the second example? And again, they're going to look at a child in the pre-operational stage is just going to say what looks like it's more. They don't really understand necessarily how things can be rearranged and reshaped and changed. They're just going to say which looks like more, and I'm going to guess on that one. Okay. Another feature of the pre-operational stage is something called egocentrism. It's the inability to see another's point of view. In this stage, or when a child is experiencing egocentrism, they cannot imagine that things happen to others that do not happen to them. But importantly, it's not the same thing as selfishness. It's one-dimensional thinking. It's not that they're selfish, it's just that they literally cannot think abstractly yet. They can only understand what has actually happened to them personally, what they have experienced personally. They cannot imagine something that hasn't actually happened to them yet, because abstract thought hasn't evolved yet. Okay. Also, children in the preoperational stage are also going to think that natural events like rain and thunder are made by people. Again, lack of abstract thought, lack of understanding of, you know, science, the natural world. They're going to think that everything is caused by people because that's what they know, that's what they've experienced personally. Okay, so they are going to think natural events are caused by people. We call this artificialism. And they're also going to think objects such as the sun and the moon are alive. Again, this will change with more ability to have abstract thought and more information down the road. Okay, and objects, the belief that objects such as the sun and moon are alive, we call that animism. Animism. Moving on to the next stage, the concrete operational stage, begins at about 7 years of age. We start to see signs of adult or logical thinking when dealing with concrete experience. This is not really abstract thought quite yet, but we're developing, we're moving on. There's more recognition of how the world works. Children in this stage are now going to understand the law of conservation. They're going to understand that things can shift and shift shape without necessarily becoming less or more. Okay? And they can understand that people have different experiences, so they're less egocentric. Okay? Again, not selfish, but they have more of an understanding of what's going on outside of their own experience. It's not very complex abstract thought, but they understand that the world does extend beyond them. Okay, and the last stage, and after this I'll let you work on your study guide. Okay, the last stage is the formal operation stage. It's the final stage in Piaget's theory. It begins about puberty. This is when you start to get the capacity for abstract thought, thinking about things outside your experience. And this is incredibly important for learning new information, for learning about science, for learning about other places around the world. You couldn't study, for example, world geography, which I teach, if you were limited to your own concrete experience, because you couldn't learn about the Middle East then. You couldn't learn about people that are different from yourself. You would be limited to learning about people that are just like mommy and daddy and my friends. Okay, so the abstract thought allows us to open up and experience and take in way more information that we can't necessarily experience on a daily basis. So that's our last stage, beginning about puberty. Okay, I'm going to stop there for today. There are more notes.